This.
Hey, how you doing? What are you doing? Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing?
Is Felger and Mads.
What?
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
It does defy explanation to a degree until you start kicking over some rocks and talking to some people and trying to get, you know, your fingers on the pulse of it. And I've done that quite a bit. And he didn't enjoy himself in 2017. He did not have a good time, despite the fact his body was in a better situation than it's been in a long time, ever maybe, despite the fact that he is one of the most dominant players at any skill position. Starting to wear on him physically, mentally. The atmosphere here in New England.
Just to clarify really quick, so when you say in 2017, so a lot of people look at that, the concussion that he suffered in the AFC Championship, and said maybe that's what scared him. Was this going on before that?
Yes.
Okay.
This started in training camp. He seriously considered stepping away from the game in training camp. He kind of had it. At that point, his body wasn't responding. He wanted to train a certain way. The team didn't necessarily want him to train the way he wanted to train. They were at loggerheads. And he was, you know, he was pissed. And the season played out. And by the end of it, I don't think that some of the principal players on this team were really happy with the atmosphere and the climate. All the stuff that we've reported about, all the stuff we've talked about, they still need to have a hell of an air clearing at Patriot Place to get these guys back.
Still the best piece of audio from the whole week, Tom Curran on NBC Sports Boston, just giving you the details on the Gronkowski situation. And it's still not over. Drew Rosenhaus today won't commit. Still saying that Gronkowski's still not sure. And they don't know what the timetable is yet. And the league year starts in 2 weeks. The offseason program starts in maybe less than that. I think they always come back in sometime early in March. So that's a story in and of itself. And then he's tweeting out bands that make me dance, which means make me dance, show me that money. So that makes me feel better that it's a negotiation. You know, and he's... You know, and again, every day that goes forward, I think he's coming back more, because if he was going to retire, he would just retire. So play that game. Let's see how long it lasts.
I mean, that, you know what? That's exactly what bands that make her dance is. Show me the money. No,
it's awesome.
It is great. It is the current day version of show me the money. That's exactly what it is.
All right, back to your phones on Agenda Free Friday. Tony and Stoneham, go.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Number one, last night Bruins game. I'm more concerned about Rask than I am about him scoring 8 goals. That's they're going to be all right in the playoffs. But I want to talk to you guys. You know something? You guys really are gutless, because you make all these accusations and everything, and you don't let anyone, you know, take the other side. But you're talking about what you and the other media does for teams and everything. You contribute nothing to them winning. Nothing. Your comments mean nothing to them. They get up in the morning, they go and play ball, and they're not thinking about what your crazy comments are on the radio. And you think that you're contributing. You're not.
I think, Tony, and I said before, I want to be careful about not portraying it that way, because it's such a small piece, but I do think the urgency that's in this town contributes to the success on a small level.
Yeah, but you've got to understand, these people are human beings just like you. You know you're in the Hall of Fame in baseball if you fail 70% of the time.
I don't care what that means.
Well, if you're a 300 hitter.
No. I understand that, but what does it mean for this conversation?
Because every game, every situation, you're knocking the players because they didn't get a hit in the right situation, or they made an error, or whatever. They're human beings.
Right,
you're
and
the overall season, and you're going to look at them as. And their overall career.
Okay, so Tony, I think that the urgency in this town contributes to the team's success. It's on a small level. I mean, we're talking percentage points. But I think the fact that people care so much, and the media is a part of it, sorry, is a benefit to the teams. It creates some urgency that has helped them win more. Again, percentage points, small percentage points.
I don't understand what he was looking for there. Does he want us to consider their feelings, be nicer? Like, what? I don't get it. You know, like... Okay, maybe we go too far sometimes. Clearly I have with David Price, and maybe that's contributed to him not really liking it here.
But how could Tony say that they don't listen to what we say? Of course not everyone does, but a lot of them do.
Yeah, to me it's about expectation. That's what it is, and what you expect. And even David Price himself said this spring training, you guys expect a lot. That's right, we do.
Yeah, and to that I say, F your feelings, produce.
Yeah,
we don't ask for much, just produce.
In this market, of those teams... A lot is expected. That's the way it is here.
Yep. Agenda Free Friday. Ryan in Nashville with a baseball thought. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call again. I just want to reiterate something. I know you guys, you and Tony, don't really have a big affinity for Aaron Boone and Alex Cora, but now that Red Sox just landed J.D. Martinez, Yankees have Stanton, they're loaded up. Who do you think is under more pressure to succeed in this upcoming baseball season?
Right. That's a good question.
It's close, but it's Boone and the Yankees.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's Boone and the Yankees. The only reason I say it's close is because what are the Red Sox going to do? They think they can go out and win 85 games now, no problem?
Well, the expectation game. Red Sox last 2 years have not gotten out of the first round. So if they make the ALCS, you sort of feel like they made a step, right?
No, no question.
The Yankees went to game 7 of the ALCS last year. If they don't make it to that level this year, you feel like they took a step backwards.
Absolutely.
You know, you get to game 7 of the ALCS. Did they go game 7?
I think that's right, yeah.
They
won games. Yeah. They went to game 7.
Game 7 of the ALCS, and they add Giancarlo Stanton. You expect to go to the World Series.
No question. Yeah, to me, it's Boone and the Yankees. Again, I can't sit here on the one hand and say to you, it's the Yankees division now, and then not tell you that there's more pressure on them. There is more pressure on the Yankees. There is more pressure on Boone. But let's not mistake that for the Red Sox having none. The Red Sox have their fair share, too. They both do. They should both be in the playoffs.
Sean and Hingham on the Bruins, Penguins last night. Hi, Sean.
Hey, yeah, I'm going to make one quick thing on the Bruins and then one on the Patriots. One about if the Bruins played the Penguins in a 7-game series, I would feel pretty confident just in terms of the physical battle. Like you saw last night, like I think they can knock guys like Crosby, Kessel, and Malkin off their game. You know, if you knock them around a little bit, they get frustrated. Crosby was whining a little bit last night.
No question.
So I think if you get under their skin, then they can take them in a 7-game series.
Can
no
I stop you?
More talent.
Sean, let me just stop you, because I would rather have Pittsburgh than Washington any day of the week. Washington is not
100%.
The Caps have never been fazed by anything that you do. Holtby's in your head or whatever. You just can't beat Holtby. So, like, the Caps, I would hate that. I would rather face Pittsburgh than Washington any day of the week. And there is something about Crosby v. Chara that is always that plays in your favor. Crosby doesn't like being out there against Chara. And
go ahead. Bergeron on top of that. And then just one thing on the Patriots. I know I'm as concerned as Maz is about the linebackers. What about the safeties? They're all over 30 years old, and you got Jordan Bum Richards. I guess you have Armin, but I mean, Chung and McCourty are both north of 30. That's another position of concern that I don't think is getting enough attention.
Follow up. You had a Bruins thought on his comment?
I was just going to say, Letang strikes me as another one who's soft and whose head you can get in. There were a couple plays last night where he was, like, throwing up his arms, complaining to the officials. It's like, so that's all I was going to say. I do think the Bruins could, you know, smack them around a little and get in their heads.
Stylistically, Pittsburgh's a good matchup for him. But they're still, Letang is filthy good. So, like, I would never say, like, yes, Letang sucks, you'll beat him. That's not it. But just the way they play, they're loose. Pittsburgh plays very loose. And I always like the Bruins against those teams, against the looser teams. It's the teams that are, like, the Caps, that are bigger and physical and tighter that I just don't like the Bruins against. Safety. Is that a need? And you mentioned, is
Tyrann Mathieu.
Is Honey Badger a free agent?
No, I don't believe so. No,
he's just on the outs.
Yeah, there's an outs. He's going to be a cap hit of $14 million if he plays for the Cardinals. So they're looking to trade him. It would only be $5 million if they end up trading for him.
I'm okay with McCourty. I'm even okay with Chung, like, because I think Chung, you know what he is. I mean, he can play and run support, and you know, the guy I think is wildly overrated is Harmon. I just don't think Harmon's all that good.
Okay, Mike in Woburn, we have a minute. Mike, what?
Look. You want to talk about the negativity. What's the difference between now and when Patino was around?
We've won 10 championships.
The fans, when Patino was around, were the source of the negativity, and rightly so. It was a dumpster fire here. I know Big Jim loves to rip on it, but the Bork thing at City Hall Plaza, that wasn't because we all were happy to celebrate a championship. That wasn't us being like Buffalo fans with the state championship hats. There was no merch there. That was an outpouring of negativity towards the team for screwing one of the greatest generational players they've ever had and forcing him to go somewhere else to get a championship. That's what that was. Nowadays, I mean, you talk about, look, Mike, I remember Adam Jones when you used to call him Drew. Drew would not be working 6 to 11 on the Sports Hub.
Back then? See, Mike, I disagree. To say that the media wasn't negative, Shaughnessy was still around in 2000. And you know, I think, Mike, Rick Pitino was responding to that night was, didn't Ordway go on some, Jimmy, you were there, right? Did Ordway go on some rant about the Celtics and Pitino that day on the radio, and that's what Pitino was really responding to?
Sure.
Is that yes or no? You're just saying sure.
I don't know. I was in high school.
No, Pitino was...
Oh, God, I thought you were older than that.
He was responding to talk radio.
You've aged me well, Michael.
This was the advent of the whole Fellowship of the Miserable thing. That was part of it, too, if I got it all right. He was responding to talk radio.
Right. Part of that rant, so whether Glenn said it that day or not, I think part of that rant he said, you know, the geniuses on the radio or something. Like, he
Correct.
Referred to the losers.
Who have no life.
Right, exactly, Mike. So the media was still there in 2000. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but also the media was the same guys at every Friday who would have the Patriots turtle waxing party after they won the Super Bowl for God knows how many years, which spawned the Sports Hub. My biggest point is we hear stuff like this, the promo that your station runs with Jones lamenting the Bruins becoming a contender. It's absurd. It's the same thing like Shaughnessy does when he releases two articles the same day, one designed to troll the rest of the nation saying the Patriots are a wagon, and one saying how Bill's so dumb for getting this guy and this guy on free agency. Like, there's a level of disingenuousness and a level of just, it's like you want to be wrestling heels.
I don't think it's disingenuous. I mean, Jones is really that miserable. And Shaughnessy's Shaughnessy. I mean, that's what they are. But even if it's disingenuous, I don't care if it's disingenuous. I mean, I don't think it is, but I don't care if it is. I'm entertained by it. I mean, maybe that's just me. Believe me, I feel the same way about the teams that I grew up with, too. I read the Green Bay stuff. I'm like, would someone call somebody out here, please? So it's not just that I'm not from here. I'm entertained by that back and forth.
Yeah, to
so
me.
Thank God we have Jones.
Poor self-loathe.
To me, the rule is always pretty simple. Whatever the team is, they got to maximize. So if that is...
Now, do they?
Do they?
Yes, they do, Jones.
If that's a team going 8-8, if that's a team going 16-0, I don't know. Okay, I'm just telling you that. For example, this Patriots team this year, given the talent they had and the shortage on the other side in the Super Bowl, they could have won that game. They could have won that game. I don't think it's wrong to criticize them for losing that game.
Fireworks are not going off yet again.
We need Jones. I stand by that. Back to you right after these words.
Just a perfect call by manager John.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Blood force trauma to run it right down their throat.
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tatum gets to the rim, two-hand slam, one-point game, 7.3 to go. In the backcourt, foul on Harden. It's exactly what happened last year. Harden committed the foul in the backcourt. He knocked over Marcus Smart, and the Celtics will get it with 7.3 to go. So now, no timeouts. Celtics down one. They have never led. Rozier on the inbound. Bounce pass. Horford catches. 5 seconds to go. Horford pulls his way in. Forces it up and in. The Celtics have the lead. No timeouts for Houston. 3.7 to go.
Man, give me some Cheetos, somebody.
Harden knocks down Smart again and turns the ball over. James Harden implodes in front of a national television audience.
Take that with your beard.
You know, how do you only have two officials on a national TV game? A lot of grabbing, a lot of holding. When am I supposed to, how else am I supposed to get open? A guy has two arms wrapped around my whole body. You know, it's tough. You can't have two officials in a professional game. There's a lot of no calls that need to be called because that changes the dynamic of the game. You know, then you got fast break points, no calls, turnovers, or whatever the case may be. But it's a professional game. National TV. Can't happen.
All right, meanwhile, some basketball stuff on Agenda Free Friday. The last time the Celtics faced the Houston Rockets, that happened. James Harden runs over Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart flops. All of it, it's all true, meaning both things happened. Harden loses his mind, runs over Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart flops, embellishes, gets two charging calls in the last whatever seconds, and steals a win over the Houston Rockets. Now you got the Celtics at Houston on Saturday. Bruins, maybe they had their statement win last night. Do you have a chance for a statement win for the Celtics on Saturday?
Absolutely. Maybe even more of one because you're on the road. And, you know, after the game here, you would think that Houston's going to be a little irritated.
Houston's looked like a juggernaut. They've won 14 straight. They're the best team in the league right now. This could be a huge win for
them. How do you feel about James Harden?
I think he's a loser. That's what I think. I think he's a bum loser. And I don't care what numbers he puts up. I think that that game here illustrated to me that he's a loser. And I have a hard time believing any team with him as its best player will ever win a championship. I really believe that. I think Golden State's going to clean up on him when they play. I mean, maybe it goes six or something. I don't know. But, like, you know, I'm not denying Harden's talent. I think he has talent. But I think, ultimately, he's a loser. That's what I think.
I wish I could argue it because he's just a machine and he's probably going to end up the MVP of the league this year. But when I think of players shutting it down in the NBA, he is number one with a bullet.
Oh, he did it last year in that last playoff game. Absolutely. So that happens on Saturday night. Couple basketball thoughts, that's one. Two, we mentioned before, Cleveland loses last night and to me looks totally lifeless doing so. They lose at home to Philadelphia. And it was just, I watched the end after the Bruins. I turned over and watched just the end of that game. And just the body language of that Cleveland team, I think they're done. I'm declaring them done. That's it. I felt from the start, as a lot of us did, that they could reach a point where they say, well, it's just not good enough, and at that point, LeBron's going to shut it down, and that team's not going to be, you know, you're just going to have to worry. You're not going to have to worry about them in the postseason, and I think we're there. I think last night was it. Last night was the tipping point for me, and because there was just a few little things. I mean, this J.R. Smith story is insane. He got suspended because he threw a bowl of soup at a coach, which is just my favorite headline of the year. J.R. Smith suspended for throwing bowl of soup at assistant coach.
Wouldn't you have thrown the crackers first? Like, really?
The spoon?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's plastic or metal.
There's more of a statement with the actual soup.
Well, that's why I'm surprised. Yeah. Like, you just take the spoon and, like, yeah, it doesn't do any harm, but I mean, chuck that bowl of soup.
Right, you can hurt somebody with that. I mean, at the beginning, just as a sort of warning shot, the oyster crackers are a go, Murray. After that, you want to chuck the bowl, you chuck the bowl.
As we said earlier, the sugar high is worn off from that trade.
I think you're nuts.
The trades have not made him better, and I just think LeBron's going to quit. It's coming.
Okay, so the LeBron quit thing might be real.
It's coming.
But, like, 20 games out still, Cleveland's supposed to take it seriously?
Well, I don't think they're going to catch anyone for home court.
Okay, but again,
that matters this year.
Okay, maybe it does. I'm just telling you, you're going to see a different level of intensity in the last six games of the season.
Oh, I'm not convinced of that.
They've come out of the All-Star break like this, 2-3 since. They're losing to good teams, too, and it's not like they're losing buzzer beaters. I mean, last night, and again, what is a potential first-round matchup? Like, they got beat up by the Sixers, and it's what it looked like before they made these deals.
Okay, quickly, also, the Lakers win again last night. They go into, was it Miami? And stomp the Heat. Guess who had 29?
Isaiah.
I did. Little IT, the mouthy little peanut there, Murray, who does not sound like Mickey Mouse.
Hello, boys and girls.
Did you see, there was a quote from him the other day. It was just written, but he said going into free agency, it's so sad. I actually felt bad. I'm paraphrasing, but it was along the lines of, all you need is just one team to love you. Like, oh, poor little guy.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Just use the Mouska tool.
So the thing was, now he's talking playoffs. They're six games out of the playoffs. They've won four straight, and Isaiah's feeling it.
Oh, God.
So, just monitoring that because it's fun to monitor Isaiah Thomas now with the Lakers. Say goodbye.
He's porking you.
Exactly. Say goodbye to that draft pick.
Oh, God. I think it's toast. Yeah, I think it's gone.
Say goodbye to that draft pick. Not happening this year. Okay, so those are your basketball thoughts along with everything else here on an agenda-free Friday. Back to your phones. We've got Billy in Rhode Island with the Red Sox thought. Go ahead, Billy.
Yeah, I just want to make a couple of comments. You know, baseball is right around the corner. And the Red Sox in the last couple of years, we got to give them credit for where they finished. They had the Yankees in there, they had Baltimore. And it's not easy to come up on top, especially with the manager they had. Don't give him any credit for them winning it.
I agree, Billy. So what do you expect from them this year? What to you would be a suitable year for you?
What do you expect from them this year? I think they got to get a rotation on that batting lineup where they're there every night knowing where they're going to hit. That's number one. He changed that roster a million times last year, and he kept the pitchers. And if you look over that schedule, those guys were in there giving up four or five runs in three innings, never made a change because they didn't want to hurt their feelings.
Okay, Billy, but where should the team finish?
The team is going to finish first ahead of the Yankees.
If they don't,
and I'm not saying that because I'm a Boston fan.
Yeah.
If their pitching holds up with injuries, that team will go to the beat the Yankees again this year.
Okay, well, let's get to that. Let's get to that because we have an update on the Red Sox pitching. Someone got hurt down in Fort Myers today. Felger and Maz. Ooh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports
Hub. We talk about the Indians. We talk about the Astros. All these offensive teams. New York. I think we're up there with them.
Played with a guy like that here. You know,
Manny.
Kind of centered around.
Manny. Yeah, Manny David. Yeah.
I just hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Alex Cora comparing J.D. Martinez and the impact he could have to Manny Ramirez. Like, that's just so unfair to J.D. Martinez. It's just, and that's like, you're not worried about putting too much pressure on the guy or anything, are you?
Well, clearly not. No. Like, especially if you start seeing those fly balls get caught at 379 feet. In right center field there, right in front of the bullpen. Who's going to keep track of those this year? Can you think of anyone, Murray?
But still, it's like, you know, don't set the bar too high or anything. Manny Ramirez and David Ortiz. And then, yeah, you know, with him, our offense is right up there with New York. You know, and in Cleveland and Houston. Why is he even looking ahead to what the final run like, it's just...
Yeah, he shouldn't be. Because, again, the other thing is, really what he should be saying is, our offense doesn't have to be as good as those guys. As a team, we just have to beat them, right? We can win 4-3 for all that matters. It doesn't matter. Like, you know, again, this is, to me, this is what you're going to get in part with a rookie manager, and maybe it is buying into some of the organizational bullcrap that they like to spew over there and tell you about how good they are and all the hype and everything else. The reality is that, you know, just keep it in check. Keep it in
right,
check.
Exactly.
I just don't think that they can, especially now, because it feels like there's this collective desperation of please love us, don't forget us, because I think that they've realized, at least from an organizational standpoint, that they realize apathy might be settling
Jim,
in here.
I've said this all week. If that comes from the GM or the owner or something like that, I sort of half expect it. They're selling tickets. They're worried about marketability and all of that. It's like, okay, it's an off-field guy. Fine. Speak your crap. Spew it. Fine. The field manager? I hate when the field manager gets caught up in the bullcrap.
It trickled down to John Farrell. Why wouldn't it trickle down to this guy?
It sure did trickle down to John Farrell.
Oh, this guy.
Hey, we have five number ones.
Oh, please. This guy's on planet Zippy at the moment. He's so excited to be there and be the manager of the Red Sox. He can't, you know, he's high as a kite down there, for crying out loud, running around from field to field. He's floating. He's so excited. So, look, again, which is all well and good. I mean, it's what I would expect from a rookie manager. Let's see what happens after the first 8-game losing streak, if they have one.
Meanwhile, news today, Paul Morantz comes out of his start, says he's not worried, but forearm stiffness, which, again, Maz, always means what?
Elbow. Elbow. It's not forearm. It's elbow. These go hand in hand. Anytime you start feeling it in here, and then the triceps is another one. What's between the two? Elbow. It's elbow related. So now, look, again, could be nothing. Could be, early, you know, sometimes early in camp, a guy starts throwing, he gets a little inflammation in there. They got to calm him down and ease his way back into the season. Fine. Could be that. But given his history, how do you not say, uh-oh, here you go? Like, to me, you got to start thinking elbow there. You have to. And so, you know, they are still a team that's built on its starting rotation. So any sort of significant injury there, you know, undermines them on some level, as it would any team, but them especially.
So who's next up? Just fill me in, because Stephen Wright and Eddie Rodriguez are both not going to make the season.
Correct.
Okay, so they're being held back to start the year. If you lose Pomerantz, so now you need two starters. Tell me who those two guys are.
Brian Johnson is one.
Yeah, Brian Johnson's
out of
one.
Options.
So right, and
Brian Johnson.
Jalen Beeks.
I'm sorry, who's that?
Clarence Beeks
with the Orange report.
Exactly. Yep. Get the Frost report on the Orange.
Those are the pop culture references we deal with.
I don't get it.
Movies from 35 years ago.
You guys don't know who Clarence Beeks is?
Trading Places, look it up.
Oh, I know the movie.
Okay, so that was Clarence Beeks. That was the guy who had the Orange report. He gave to the Mortimer and whatever.
Exactly. And Clarence Beeks was the one who ended up in the cage with the...
Anyway, go.
So, but again, this is an issue. You're starting to run into a shortage of depth there. You know, you start getting down to 7th and 8th starters, there are potential flaws there or holes. So, you know, they got to keep their starters healthy, which is one of the mantras they're having in camp here. Like, Sale's not even going to pitch in a real game, I think, until the middle of March.
Is that right?
I think I saw today, March 14th or something. I mean, you know, they're going to have him in inter-squad games and minor league games. Up until then, they're trying to ramp him up slowly so that he'll have more legs at the end of the year. And it feels like they're doing the same thing with Price. So Porcello yesterday was the first real starter to pitch into a game, or pitch in a game.
And Pomerantz is the second, and he already got hurt.
Correct.
This is why I don't buy their narrative that, oh, the pitching is clearly the best in the American League. Maybe the best. It's certainly the best in the AL East, but maybe in all of baseball. Okay, Sale, Price, and then I think you have huge question marks with Porcello, who sucked last year, and Pomeranz, who came here broken and isn't going to win you 17 games again like he did last year.
Exactly. You know what's happening. Porcello will come back up and Pomeranz will go down. Yeah. It would not surprise me if Pomeranz is a non-factor this year.
No, but again, I think generally as you get to the middle and end of most rotations, that will happen. Right, most teams are good, because that's by definition what 3, 4, and 5 starters are.
Porcello was a Cy Young guy.
Well, right, but that was a fluke.
Okay.
So the one thing you can say about Porcello, knock on wood, generally speaking, he does take the ball every 5 days. Right, that's the one thing you can say. So in a season, you know, in a sport where you got to manage for the marathon, even going out there and losing half the time has some value because you're protecting other people in the process. There is some of that, but I just called up the 40-man roster to look at the pitching depth to make sure we weren't missing anybody, and I don't think we're missing anybody. Ty Buttrey, whoever he is on the 40-man roster.
The butt man.
Yeah, but other than that, it's Brian Johnson, Jalen Beeks, don't call me Clarence. Like, other than that, I don't see anybody that we're missing. They have a... Once you get past the starting five and then, you know, Ryder Rodriguez, whoever that sixth guy is, you start to thin out.
Okay, so there is your baseball update here on Agenda Free Friday, everything being on the table. Friday is also the day that we give you Mad Mike, Squeaky Maz, or the Fuppets, and or all of the above. That is Hardy's brilliant brainchild, where he puts Felger and Maz to lifelike puppets. And we've been doing this now for 6 months. It saved the show when we introduced it last year. And they're so good that I feel like just playing it once on a Friday night is not enough. We got to play it twice on Friday. So here's going to be your first edition of the Fuppets today. It's baseball related, so we put it in this segment. Maz, I think this week had a little bit of an issue with baseball writers. Is that right?
Yes, yeah, it came up, yeah.
If you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, you'll see it. If you're listening, you'll hear it. But here it is.
Does anybody ask any legitimate questions anymore? Like, what the hell's going on here? Why is this taking so long? And then when they're told, oh, no, this is nothing to see here. Everything's fine. Oh, okay, thanks. I think that part of it, frankly, is embarrassing.
What's even worse?
There was an issue, clearly, that popped up during the physical.
You just asked the question.
They changed the language in the contract as a result of it. Is it the end of the world? No. But can you at least have some instinct and sense that something has gone awry? I just think that's bad.
All right, excellent. Again, we'll put up on all the socials there if you want to see it for yourself online. In the meantime, back to your phones on an agenda-free Friday, our long commercial-free segment. Thanks to Hardy again for that. Right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
I think the best thing for us about the game is to measure where we're at. This is 2-time Stanley Cup champions playing very well. A lot of people saying trending towards a third. So it'll be a good measuring stick for our hockey club to see where we're at.
Send it out in front. They score! Rick Nash, his dish out in front. Hit David Krejci, who crashed to the front of the cage. They score! Pasternak's drive deflected. DeSmith couldn't spot it. It fluttered over his right shoulder and slowly rolled its way over the line. A goal. 2-1 Bruins.
Nash wanted to go backdoor with that backhand pass. Just couldn't get it off.
Right circle. Krug sent it out in front. They score! A perfect pass. Krug hit Nash. Stick down in the blue paint. He directs it home. A power play goal. Knocked down by McAvoy.
The hits are thrown in this.
And McAvoy going at Hornquist. He wants a shot at him. Now Chara gets a piece of him, and the Bruins grab a hold of him. McAvoy wanted a goal. Last to save over at the far post on Kessel.
His best one by far, reading that one to get over. Chara and Oleksiak pushing and shoving. Oleksiak challenging him.
Here we go.
It's a long shift for Chara.
Oleksiak fighting right-handed, right corner. He's 6'7". He took an uppercut from Chara. Oleksiak a right. Chara right. That connected on the back of the head. Chara right. Chara trying to get the right end free. Oleksiak a right. Chara a right to the body. And now Oleksiak grabs him. Krejci shoots. He scores. Throw him. That's a hat trick. trick for David Krejci. That is his sixth career hat trick.
Near point now, McAvoy. Near side, Chara. Center deflected. They score! What a pass by the captain, Zdeno Chara. He put it right on the tape of Pasternak, and he hammered it home. 8-3 Bruins.
David had some of his best years here playing with Luch and Horton. Again, Les, so he's used to having big, heavy guys that will get to the net. You know, no disrespect to Ryan Spooner, because, you know, we asked him to do something, you know, out of what his comfort zone. I thought he did a good job, but we said this before, he wasn't going to grow 6 inches here. So, and Jake is doing a good job with that. He has a lot of Nash's attributes. He's now got two wingers that, you know, have some similar traits that he seems to excel with.
Okay, thanks to Jimmy for putting that together. David Krejci with the hat trick. I don't think he was the story of the game. I mean, I think it's a huge development on the team that he's got someone like Nash, and that's going to bring up more out of Krejci. It should, and Cassidy's right. You like that line about Ryan Spooner?
Oh, my gosh, it's tremendous. You know, hey, Spoons, you know, we asked him to do some, but, you know, he wasn't going to grow 6 inches. Let's face it.
So Krejci's always been good with the big body next to him who clears space and opens things up for him, and Nash absolutely does that. Someone big goes to the net, plays in front of the net. Lucic, Horton, we've all talked about it, even Iginla. That's the fit for Krejci. You have it in Rick Nash. So no coincidence that Krejci's woken up here in the last week. So that's a big development. But to me, it was just, again, the Bruins question for you Bruins fans, is that a statement game? Is that one of those nights where you look at it and go, huh, they are on to something. They are on to something. Does that make you feel that way? Or was it a throwaway night because Pittsburgh didn't show up, they didn't play on their own end, and their goalies couldn't stop a beach ball? It's a throwaway, or did it mean something? Murray was there, says it had the it factor.
It definitely did. I get it. You know, the goalie was terrible, and Pittsburgh ended up packing it in. But
Goalies,
fine.
All three of them played.
Rask was bad, too.
They all sucked, all three of them.
But you're seeing as good as they can be with these changes, especially that second line. I mean, I knew there was going to be some upside there and that Krejci would be rejuvenated. He looks like a completely different player.
And DeBrusque is a good fit in there, too. I like his speed. The second Krejci goal with Holden had the assist. Okay, so the new defenseman chipped in on the power play. DeBrusque chased that puck down from the other side of the ice and made a really, like, he brings a little speed there to that line that I like as well. So
this is just more of what they've been since the beginning of December. I don't know how you can't feel like this team couldn't be poised for a deep run.
They're on to something. There's no doubt. So it's one of the items on Agenda Free Friday. David North Smith, Smithfield, Rhode Island. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Hey, you know, I'm not denying that they're playing great, and I'm as excited as next guy. But first off, statement game, I'm like, pump the brakes, because they had an AHL goalie that had gotten lit up in their last game, and we lit them up 3 out of 4 shots. And then they get their backup goalie, which wasn't a lot better. Tuukka Rask is really the big limiting factor for me. I think the whole team's great, but Tuukka was one goal away from giving up a hat trick to Olli freaking Mata.
So you're concerned about Tuukka Rask, Dave?
Absolutely. I don't think he has it. I think if we have the team, as long as we can outscore the other team, we're going to win. But I've never felt Tuukka to be a goalie that's going to steal a game. You know, he has in the past, but he's not the one. He's not like a Lundqvist.
So let me just stop you. There's pressure on Rask. You know, he needs to deliver. He's had a good year. He has a good team. This is a team that should do something. He should, you know, just look in the first round. Is it Frederik Andersen there in Toronto? Rask should be the better goalie in that series. Rask should be the better goalie in that series, and you should win that series. If he's not, you know, I mean, I don't know what to say. They haven't traded him yet. It seems like Tuukka has a lot of support, but come on. He hasn't won a playoff round in going on 4 years. So I think there's a lot on Tuukka Rask, as there is on any goalie in that league.
See, I'm worried about Rask. I mean, I'm not panicking yet, but this little run here, he slipped. There's no question about it.
Last 6 games has a save percentage of .888, which blows. And he's allowed 3 or more goals in 4 of those 6 games. Last night, he allowed 3 goals on the first 7 shots and got one taken off the board. It was the right call, that kick-in goal. But the puck was going in on Tuukka Rask last night. Scott in Peabody on our Rick Pitino negativity in Boston conversation. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, I was just, when you guys were talking about the negativity in Boston, it kind of reminded me of what Kraft said about them always keeping a certain sense of uncomfortableness in their organization. It kind of keeps them always on their toes, and I feel like that might make a correlation between the two, and, you know, that's probably why they stay winning, and probably why the media helps and the fans help it do it to the rest of the teams in Boston.
Thank you, Scott. I think the urgency in the town helps. But even outside of that, even if you want to say that, that we and you have nothing to do with it, fine. I just think it's way more entertaining. To me, when you get outside of the games and you're done watching the game, how much of it is a part of your life that you're able to follow and consume and be a part of? And the way we do it in Boston, I think just makes it more entertaining to have good guys and bad guys in the media or among the fans, positive people, negative people, and you go back and forth and you throw crap at each other and you watch the next game. Like, I think it makes the whole experience better, more entertaining. And I'm telling you again, folks, as much as you hate Shaughnessy or me or Maz or Adam Jones or any of the negative dinks in the media, if you lived in a place that didn't have them, you'd miss them and you'd want them. Because if it's just Yahooism, that sucks.
I mean, where do you go with that? And like,
it's just not as entertaining. Trust me.
No, of course it isn't. Like, because again, if everyone's sort of on the same page, where is the tension? Where's the conflict? Where's the discussion? Where is all of it?
Scott in Hopedale.
Triple play, baby. Yeah.
We need Jones. We need him. Scott in Hopedale, what's your thought today?
Hey guys. It's sad it's gotten to the point where we're overanalyzing Gronk's tweets and all that, but there's a line in that song, and I'm going to sound very Caucasian right now, but there's a line in the song, and it goes, quote, make a movie with your bitch, Steven Spiel, N-word, unquote. So I think Gronk is trolling us at this point with the movie stuff.
You think he's so... So you think it's a movie reference?
I have absolutely no idea. I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay. Not a movie reference.
No, it's not. I think Big Jim Murray nailed it. Go ahead, Stu. Give me some accompaniment, please. Let's hear it again. What's his name again?
Juicy J?
Juicy J, yeah.
The tweet was what, Murray?
Bands of Make Her Dance. It's the title of Bands. There it is. Bands of Make Her Dance by Juicy J.
Bands of Make Her Dance.
So what does that mean, bands that make her dance, please?
You see, it's a strip club anthem. Bands, typically like, $50 to $100. They're all wrapped up in bands. You pop the bands. You start peeling off the money for the dancers. So you could look at this tweet last night from Gronk saying, hey, maybe I'm going to the club. I'm going to peel off some ones and fives. Have those girls shake that ass. Or you could look at this as Gronk is the stripper.
Gronk is the stripper.
And he wants the Patriots to pop those bands and peel off that money. Because you want me to dance? I'm Gronk. I do love to shake that ass and dance. I want that money. I want that Antonio Brown money. I want that Julio Jones money. You want this ass to shake? Come on.
Pop those bands.
Yeah, pop those bands, Crafts.
No doubt in my mind, Gronk is the stripper in this scenario. He is the stripper. Bands that make him dance. That's what it is, Murray. That's exactly what it is. I told you earlier, this is the modern version of show me the money and I'll play. You pay, I'll play. I'm in. Let me know, bitches.
Again, there's the Felger Maz translation of what went on Twitter with
bands that make her dance.
Steve in Brockton on the Bees. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you guys doing? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Awesome. So I'm petrified of Brayton Holtby in the playoff picture against the Bruins because for some strange reason, every time we play the Capitals, Brayton Holtby stands on his head and has a phenomenal game against us, and Tuca has the run.
Steve, he is the Bruins daddy. He is our daddy. I agree, but you understand, if you get to Holtby, that's a conference final.
Exactly, and that terrifies me.
Well, that's
and
pretty good. I'm not terrified of being in the conference finals if I'm in the Bruins. I take that as a win, and the rest is gravy, don't you?
Wait, it is, but I go back to when Holtby first came up in the league, and it was like the 2012 playoffs, and Gregory Campbell gets right under his skin, goes to slash Holtby in the legs, and Holtby doesn't even move. Like, is unfazed by Gregory the Legend Campbell, and it's over.
No, he owns that ass. He owns you. He owns us. And it was against you in that. Remember, it was that playoff series. It was 2012. It was the year after you won the Cup.
Yes, he was like a rookie, wasn't he?
Your first round matchup was against Washington, and I can't remember who their starter was, but he was hurt. And so they had to go to AHL and bring up Holtby, and I guess he played at the end of the year. I can't remember exactly, but he was not supposed to be the guy. He wasn't the guy. He was a guy from the system. And we looked at him and go, puh! Backup goalie, no problem. And from there, he became one of the best goalies in the league and absolutely owns you. So, yes, I do not like you against Washington at all. If you get there, it's a conference final. So, like, I mean, that's a classy problem to have.
Yeah, I'm not worried about, like, if it gets that far, we'll see what happens. to me, they got to win a round and then, you know, put up a fight in the second round, and we'll see what it looks like. And I think they can do that.
Agenda Free Friday continues right after Murray's update here. 90 seconds, no commercials.
Felger and Mass, the Sports Hub.